Our dear brothers and sisters, we welcome you to this year's First Presidency's Christmas devotional. We are so grateful for the opportunity to gather with you and reflect upon the birth, life, and mission of our Savior, Jesus Christ. President Thomas S. Monson, who presides this evening, has asked that I conduct this Christmas devotional. We extend our warmest Christmas greetings to each one of you. We acknowledge the presence of the First Presidency, members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and other general authorities and general auxiliary presidencies who are in attendance this evening. The music for the devotional will be provided by the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square, under the direction of Mac Wilberg and Ryan Murphy, with Andre Unsworth at the organ. The choir will open the meeting by singing "Joy to the World." The invocation will then be offered by Sister Neil F. Marriott, second counselor in the Young Women General Presidency.
Our dear Father in heaven, we bow our head before thee this night at the beginning of this Christmas devotional and thank thee for the gift of thy perfect Son. We truly do feel a thrill of hope as we think on him, his life, his atonement for us, and we thank thee for this great gift. We are grateful this night to be gathered to worship him and pray for those who will speak to us or sing or play instruments, that their testimonies can carry that spirit of faith and love into our hearts. We are grateful, Father in heaven, for this season of the year. Wilt thou bless us with increased faith in our Savior as we worship him this night. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We will now be pleased to hear from President Thomas S. Monson, our beloved prophet. After President Monson's remarks, the choir will sing, "Christmas Bells Are Ringing." Then Sister Rosemary Wixon, Primary General President, will address us. She will be followed by the choir singing, "Away in a Manger." We will then hear from Elder Ronald A. Raspend of the Presidency of the 70, and the choir will sing "Far, Far Away on Judea's Plains."
Hmm. My beloved brothers and sisters, it's a joy for me to be with you this evening as we celebrate, through word and song, the birth of our Savior and Redeemer, even Jesus Christ, the Lord. Christmas is a glorious season of the year. It's also a busy time for most of us. It's my hope and prayer that we may not become so caught up in the pressures of the season that we've placed our emphasis on the wrong things and miss the simple joys of commemorating the birth of the Holy One of Bethlehem. Finding the real joy of Christmas comes not in the hurrying and the scurrying to get more done. We find the real joy of Christmas when we make the Savior the focus of the season. Born in a stable, cradled in a manger, he came forth from heaven to live on earth as mortal man and to establish the kingdom of God. His glorious gospel reshaped the thinking of the world. He lived for us, and he died for us. What can we in return give to him? I love the words penned by the English poet Christina Rossetti. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I'd bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet what can I give him? Give my heart. Our celebration of Christmas should be a reflection of the love and selflessness taught by the Savior. Giving, not getting, brings to full bloom the Christmas spirit. We feel more kindly one to another. We reach out in love to help those less fortunate. Our hearts are softened. Enemies are forgiven. Friends remembered. And God obeyed. The spirit of Christmas illuminates the picture window of the soul. We look out upon the world's busy life, become more interested in people than in things. To catch the real spirit of Christmas, we need only drop the last syllable and becomes the spirit of Christ. Said President David O. McKay, true happiness comes only by making others happy. The practical application of the Savior's doctrine of losing one's life to gain it. In short, the Christmas spirit is the Christ spirit that makes our heart glow in brotherly love and friendship and prompts us to kind deeds of service. It is the spirit of the gospel of Jesus Christ, obedience to which will bring peace on earth, because it means goodwill toward all men. Close quote. May we give as the Savior gave. To give of oneself is a holy gift. We give as a remembrance of all the Savior has given. May we also give gifts that have eternal value, along with our gifts that eventually break or are forgotten. How much better the world would be if we all gave gifts of understanding and compassion, of service and friendship, of kindness and gentleness. As the Christmas season envelops us with all its glory, may we, as did the wise man, seek a bright particular star to guide us in our celebration of the Savior's birth. May we all make the journey to Bethlehem in spirit, taking with us a tender, caring heart as our gift to the Savior. My brothers and sisters, may one and all have a joy-filled Christmas. Such is my hope and my prayer. In the sacred name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas. This is the Christmas season, and children invite the magic of Christmas into our hearts. We miss something if we don't see Christmas through a child's eyes. For children see the lights. They hear the music, and they smell the fragrance of Christmas trees and candy canes with real anticipation. We see their rosy cheeks and little noses pressed against the glass of store windows as they dream of Christmas morning. And their tiny fingers count the days until December 25th. Parents also count the days until December 25th. They dream of being ready for Christmas morning as they plan and create surprises for their children. When I was a child, my mother would often sew a Christmas surprise for me and for my twin sister. She would set up the sewing machine in her bedroom and begin the project a month in advance, careful to keep the bedroom door closed while she worked. As Christmas Day approached, she would sew late into the night. When the items were almost finished, except for fitting them to us and marking the hems, she would devise a plan to preserve her surprise. That's where the blindfold came in. Our mother would blindfold us one at a time, take us into her bedroom, and slip the item over our head, always keeping the blindfold in place. Now, that worked well, except for the time the phone rang in the other room. Her parting words were, "I'll be right back, and don't you dare peek." You may ask, what happened next? I'll tell you. It was a red velvet jumper. Let me share how that question, "What happened next?" has real Christmas meaning. It happened one mid-December day as Amy Johnston, a Cub Scout den leader in Gilbert, Arizona, took the opportunity to teach a group of energetic 8-year-old boys about the birth of Jesus. She felt impressed to set aside the scout activity she had planned and talk to her Cub Scouts about the first Christmas. She gathered the boys around her on her family room floor and read several passages straight from the scriptures, while using pictures to help tell the sacred story of Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the star, and the baby Jesus' birth in the stable in Bethlehem. She read, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." As she spoke of the birth of Jesus, she noticed that all the boys were listening part of the time, but one boy, John, was waiting on every word. John was rambunctious. He was a boy who almost never sat still, but as she was telling the story, he listened intently and then asked, "Well, what happened next?" So she continued telling the boys about the boyhood of Jesus. She said, "Jesus was a boy much like you. He liked to run and play, but he also grew strong in spirit." She told them that when Jesus was just 12 years old, he traveled with his family to Jerusalem. Mary and Joseph were returning home when they realized their son was not with them.
They quickly returned to Jerusalem and found Jesus in the temple, speaking with scholars and teachers who were asking him their questions. And the scriptures say that all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. "Well, what happened next?" asked John. Amy told the boys about Jesus Christ's ministry, how he was filled with the Spirit of the Lord. We read in the Bible that he taught the gospel to the poor. He performed miracles. He healed the blind and the sick and actually raised people from the dead. He taught, "Love your enemies and do good to them that hate you." John was visibly taken by what was said and wanted to know more. Again, he asked, "Well, so what happened next?" She told the boys that some people rejected Jesus and did not like him. They actually planned to take his life. She told those little Cub Scouts about the Last Supper, the Garden of Gethsemane, and how Jesus was crucified and then resurrected. She could tell that all of these stories were new to John, who was anxious to learn more. She then felt strongly to stop, call each boy by name, and say, "Jesus Christ died for you." John listened intently as she spoke to each boy individually. Then she looked at him and said, "John, Jesus Christ died for you." He looked at her and then asked in wonder, "He did that for me?" Amy said the spirit was strong in our family room that day as one young boy felt the stirrings of the Holy Ghost for perhaps the first time. She said, "I don't know what the future holds for John, whose family has since moved away, but I pray that the seeds that were planted in the Cub Scout den meeting 2 weeks before Christmas will grow and bring to him a full measure of the light of the gospel someday." After the season is over, the Christmas lights come down, the fragrance of pine dissipates into the air, and the Christmas music no longer plays on the radio. We, like John, may ask, what happens next? The wonder and the awe of Christmas is just a beginning. Christmas reminds us that the babe born in Bethlehem has given us purpose for living. And what happens next to us largely depends on how we embrace our Savior, Jesus Christ, and follow him. Every day we invite his Spirit into our lives. We see light in others. We hear the joy of children's voices that bring hope and anticipation for the future. We look for reasons to gather, to include, to serve, and to lift while we learn what it really means to know our Savior, Jesus Christ. We find ourselves counting the days until the events in our lives when we more intently feel his influence. For example, the birth of a baby, a child's baptism, a missionary departing, a marriage solemnized in the temple, and partaking of the sacrament each week. Through Christ-like and childlike faith, we seek him and we feel his influence. "Except you become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." It is a beautiful plan, this plan our Father has created, whereby through his Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, we can return and live with him and enjoy all that the Father hath. For that is the ultimate answer to the question, what happens next? The Savior said, "He that receiveth me receiveth my Father, and he that receiveth my Father receiveth my Father's kingdom. Therefore, all that my Father hath shall be given unto him." Being ready to receive him gives all new meaning to being ready for December 25th. John, wherever you are, the living apostles have said, We solemnly testify that our Savior's life, which is central to all human history, neither began in Bethlehem nor concluded on Calvary. He was the firstborn of the Father, the only begotten Son in the flesh, the Redeemer of the world. John, his gift to us is what happens next. It is true, and he did it for you. Of that magnificent truth, I testify in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Merry Christmas, my dear brothers and sisters. I express appreciation to the First Presidency for this special opportunity to share my feelings about the sacred Christmas season and the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I never tire of the messages of Christmas that began with the birth of the baby Jesus in Bethlehem in Judea. Isaiah spoke of the event more than 700 years earlier. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. King Benjamin prophesied, he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning, and his mother shall be called Mary. The prophet Nephi heard a voice saying, on the morrow come I into the world. The next day, oceans away, the Christ child was born. No question his mother Mary looked on in wonder at her newborn son, the only begotten of the Father in the flesh. On the hills of Judea surrounding Bethlehem, Luke tells us shepherds were abiding in their fields. These were not common shepherds, but just and holy men who would bear witness of the Christ child. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Imagine that scene in Judea. The sky filled with the brilliance of a magnificent star and choruses from heaven marking this singular event. The shepherds then went with haste to see the babe lying in a manger. And later they made known abroad what they had seen. Each year at Christmas, we add our witness to that of the shepherds, that Jesus Christ, the literal Son of the living God, came to a corner of the earth in what we call the Holy Land. The shepherds reverently approached the stable to worship the King of Kings. How will we worship him this season? Endlessly shopping? Hustling about and adorning our homes? Will that be our tribute to our Savior? Or will we bring peace to troubled hearts, goodwill to those in need of higher purpose, glory to God in our willingness to do his bidding? Jesus put it simply, come and follow me. The gospel of Jesus Christ, restored through the prophet Joseph Smith, has resonated with believers across the world. I have witnessed for myself the fervor of those who have embraced his sacred word from the isles of the sea to the enormity of Russia. Some of our ancestors were among the early saints who gathered to Zion. One woman, Hannah Last Cornaby, settled in Spanish Fork, Utah. In those difficult times, Christmas was sometimes marked with a precious orange or a carved toy or perhaps only a rag doll, but not always. Hannah wrote of December 25th, 1856, Christmas Eve came, and my darlings, with childish faith, hung up their stockings, wondering if they would be filled. With aching heart, which I concealed from them, I assured them they would not be forgotten, and they fell asleep with joyful anticipation for the morning. Not having a particle of sweetening, I knew not what to do. They must not, however, be disappointed. I then thought of some squash in the house, which I boiled and then strained off the liquid, that, when simmered a few hours, made a sweet syrup. With this and a little spice, I made gingerbread dough, which, when cut into every conceivable variety of design and baked in a skillet, for I had no stove, filled their stockings and pleased them as much as would the most fancy confections. In between the lines of this story is an account of a mother working through the night with not even a stove to ease her efforts. Yet she was committed to bring joy to her children, to reinforce their faith, to affirm in their home, happy day, all is well. Isn't this the message of Christmas? President Monson teaches, our opportunities to give of ourselves are indeed limitless, but they are also perishable. There are hearts to gladden, there are kind words to say, there are gifts to be given. Whenever we act in concert with the Lord, doing His bidding, lifting those around us, we are bearing witness that He lives and that He loves us, no matter our temporal challenges. Another great soul in the history of the church is Scottish convert John Menzies McFarlane. He joined the church with his widowed mother and brother, and the three of them journeyed to Salt Lake in 1852. He was 18 years old. Over the years, he became a surveyor, builder, even a district judge. But it was his music that distinguished him. He organized his first choir in Cedar City and took his ensemble around southern Utah. After a performance in St. George, Elder Erastus Snow, an apostle and leader of the colony, encouraged him to move to the southern Utah community and bring his family and music with him. Times had been very hard in 1869, and Elder Snow asked Brother McFarlane to stage a Christmas program that would lift the people's spirits. Brother McFarlane wanted a new and engaging musical piece for the event. No matter how hard he tried to compose, nothing came. He prayed for inspiration and prayed again. Then, one night, he woke his wife and exclaimed, "I have the words for a song, and I think I have the music too." He hurried to their keyboard of their small parlor organ and played the tune, writing it down while his wife held before him the flickering light of a bit of flannel floating in a bowl of grease. The words and music flowed forth. Far, far away on Judea's plains, shepherds of old heard the joyous strains. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Brother McFarlane had never been to Judea to see that the plains were more like rocky hillsides, but the inspired message of his music poured from his soul as a witness of the Savior's birth in Bethlehem of Judea, a beginning that would change the world forever. I bear my witness that our eternal Father lives. His plan of happiness profoundly blesses the lives of each of his children in all generations. I know that his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, the babe born in Bethlehem, is the Savior and Redeemer of the world, and that dear President Thomas S. Monson is his prophet on the earth today. These words of praise speak truth in my ears. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Sure.
We express our appreciation to the Mormon Tabernacle Choir and Orchestra at Temple Square for the beautiful Christmas music that has filled our hearts. We likewise give thanks to our speakers this evening and recognize the efforts of all who have assisted in any way to make this Christmas devotional possible. As we enter into this beautiful Christmas season, we extend our love, gratitude, and blessings to all of you worldwide, and pray that each of you may be blessed to experience the peace and hope that is manifest through the redeeming love of our Savior, Jesus Christ. The concluding speaker for the devotional will be Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Following his message, the choir will close the meeting by singing Silent Night. On a signal from Brother Murphy, the congregation will join the choir in singing the third verse of this beloved carol. The benediction will then be offered by Brother Randall L. Ridd, second counselor in the Young Men General Presidency.
Dear brothers and sisters, what a marvelous experience this has been. The music has been sublime, and the messages have warmed our hearts. The spirit of Christmas is stirring in our souls. Memories of Christmas bring recollections of family, of gifts, and of service to others. They stem from the real reason for Christmas, that transcendent gift from our Heavenly Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Focusing on the Lord and everlasting life can help us, not only at Christmas, but through all the challenges of mortality. Imperfect people share planet Earth with other imperfect people. Ours is a fallen world, marred by excessive debt, wars, natural disasters, disease, and death. Personal challenges come. A father may have lost his job. A young mother may have learned of a grave illness. A son or a daughter may have gone astray. Whatever may cause the worry, each of us yearns to find inner peace. My message tonight pertains to the only source of true and lasting peace, Jesus the Christ, our Prince of Peace. This title he bore in addition to others for which he was foreordained. He was anointed by his Father to be Savior of the world. These two titles, the Messiah and the Christ, designated his responsibility as the Anointed One. Under the direction of his Father, Jesus was creator of this and other worlds. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Jesus was the promised Emmanuel, the great I Am, and Jehovah of Old Testament times. He was sent by his Father to accomplish the atonement, the central act of all human history. Because of his atonement, immortality became a reality for all, and eternal life became a possibility for those who choose to follow him. These objectives are the work and glory of Almighty God. As our great exemplar, Jesus taught us how to live, to love, and to learn. He taught us how to pray, to forgive, and endure to the end. He taught us how to care about others more than we care about ourselves. He taught us about mercy and kindness, making real changes in our lives through his power. He taught us how to find peace of heart and mind. One day, we will stand before him as our just judge and merciful Master. These sacred responsibilities of the Lord cause us to adore Him as our personal and perennial Prince of Peace. We praise Him for our privilege as parents, grandparents, and teachers of children. Christmas time is cherished family time. Family time is sacred time. We can help our children to turn to the Savior. Music can aid us. Our children like to sing, "I'm trying to be like Jesus." Jesus said,
"Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven."
He can bring peace to those whose lives have been ravaged by war. Families disrupted by military duty bear memories of war, which in my mind were embedded during the Korean War. Wars of our present era are more sophisticated, but are still as wrenching to families. Those who so suffer can turn to the Lord. His is the consoling message of peace on earth and goodwill among men. Peace can come to those who are not feeling well. Some bodies are wounded. Others ache spiritually because of missing loved ones or other emotional trauma. Brothers and sisters, peace can come to you and your soul as you build faith in the Prince of Peace.
"Have ye any that are sick among you? Bring them hither. Have ye any that are lame or blind or halt or maimed? Or that are afflicted in any manner, bring them hither, and I will heal them. I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you."
Peace can come to one who suffers in sorrow. Whether sorrow stems from a mistake or a sin, all the Lord requires is real repentance. Scripture pleads with us to flee from youthful lusts and call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Then His soothing balm in Gilead can heal even a sin-sick soul. Think of the change in John Newton, born in London in 1725. He repented from his sinful life as a slave trader to become an Anglican clergyman. With that mighty change of heart, John wrote words to the hymn, "Amazing Grace." Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth.
Peace can come to those whose labors are heavy.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
Peace can come to those who mourn. The Lord said,
blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
As we endure the passing of a loved one, we can be filled with the peace of the Lord through the whisperings of the Spirit.
Those that die in me shall not taste of death, for it shall be sweet unto them. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die.
Peace can come to all who earnestly seek the Prince of Peace. His is the sweet and saving message our missionaries take throughout the world. They preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as restored by him through the prophet Joseph Smith. Missionaries teach these life-changing words of the Lord.
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Peace can come to all who choose to walk in the ways of the Master. His invitation is expressed in three loving words.
Come, follow me.
We'll sing all hail to the Prince of Peace, for he will come again. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. As the millennial Messiah, he will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As we follow Jesus Christ, he will lead us to live with him and our Heavenly Father, with our families. Through our many challenges of mortality, if we remain faithful to covenants made, if we endure to the end, we will qualify for that greatest of all the gifts of God, eternal life. In his holy presence, our families can be together forever. God bless you, my dear brothers and sisters. May each of you have a very Merry Christmas, and may you and your loved ones enjoy forever all the blessings of our Lord, our Prince of Peace. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the wonderful spirit we have felt this evening as we've joined together to celebrate the birth of thy Son through beautiful music and messages of joy and love from our inspired leaders. We love them, we are thankful for them, and we pray that thou wilt strengthen them and sustain them in thy work. We are so very thankful for the birth of thy Son, for his example, for his life, and for his atoning sacrifice for us that brings such hope and meaning into each of our lives. Bless us that we might be mindful of those in need. May we be instruments in thy hands to comfort and bless and lift them. We ask a special blessing on the many missionaries serving throughout the world. Bless them, protect them, inspire them as they share the good news of thy gospel. Now we express our deep love and gratitude unto thee for thy beloved Son, our Savior. May the spirit of the season be ever in our hearts, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.